The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the
Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Tuesday, May 3rd, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for our next 60 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more that is podcast as the Normal Daily Audio Stash on iTunes, followed by another 60 minutes of live conversation with you at our phone number, 971-533-7111. We're coming to you from Rolla J Studios in beautiful Potland, Oregon. And normally at this time, I'd be introducing Ganja John, our engineer. Unfortunately, he is out sick again today. He is still paying for all the fun that he had up there in Denver at the conference. But of course, we've got that special microphone embedded in his false eye. Let's see if we can find out what John is up to. John, can you hear us? John, what are you up to?
Go away, Baton.
Oh, well, I guess John's busy right at the moment. So we will turn things over here to our intern who's sitting in with us. We've got Kaliko the intern hanging out.
Aloha.
We're going to have a good time here. And also from our virtual studio in beautiful Grass Storia, Oregon, the lovely and talented Cannabis Carrie.
Mahalo.
Well, everybody's gone Hawaiian on us here, Kaliko.
I welcome that.
That's a good thing, I think. Cannabis Carrie brings us our hemp headlines right after the first break. So, Carrie, what's in the news today?
Well, we have an update on a story we've been following closely here on the Stash. Sad story, but I'm going to bring that to you. Also, the Democrats in Washington are wondering what to do next now that Gregoire has vetoed large sections of that regulation bill. And also, we're going to continue Hemp Headline History Week this week and talk a little bit about a particular product that we can all switch to, some hemp paper.
Yeah, we are going to get to that. Also on today's show, we've got some Electric Tuesday music for you. Now, Cannabis Cure UK, if you've been following the show, you know that he emigrated from the UK right here to the Denver conference. And I don't know if it's emigration, if you're not officially, you know, got the passes and all that, the visas, whatever it is. But he's here. He's in the States. And last I saw him, he was in Denver, Colorado. He's going to be working there for a couple of weeks and then making his way out to Los Angeles or the California area. I think it was Northern California, actually.
Yeah, North Coast.
Yeah, North Coast there. And so he's been a little away for the podcasting duty. So I'm going to take over the music today. I got something really... Well, I'm going to call it interesting, and it doesn't even start electrically. It starts with piano, so we'll take a listen to that at 20 after the hour. Also on today's show, in reference to the first story that Carrie is going to be bringing, I'm going to be replaying an interview from March 21st on this podcast with Dr. Molly Fry and Dale Schaefer. Carrie will tell you a little bit more about that when we go into the next segment of the show and we do those headlines. So check that out. Very sad story. And we will be bringing you more of that. Also, in Toker Talk Radio, we'll be taking your calls at 971-533-7111. Get well, Ganja John. Take care of yourself. And we will be right back after these short messages.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In
today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's NORML News with Cannabis Carrie.
We have a sad update on a story that we've been following very closely here on the Stash. Two medical marijuana activists, a physician and her attorney husband, were ordered to surrender to authorities at the federal courthouse in Sacramento on Monday. Dr. Molly Fry and her husband, attorney Dale Schaefer, surrendered to authorities at the courthouse yesterday in front of dozens of activists and supporters who gathered to show their support for the couple. They both began their five-year prison sentence after being hauled away in handcuffs and separated for what will be a very long 5 years for them both. Prosecutors or protesters at the scene demanded that President Barack Obama pardon the couple. Both Fry and Schaefer were convicted in 2008 for conspiring to produce and distribute marijuana. Dr. Molly Fry ran a medical practice in the rural California town of Cool. She issued marijuana recommendations for her patients that needed it, and her attorney husband counseled her medical marijuana patients. During their trial, prosecutors accused the couple of exploiting Fry's status as a breast cancer survivor to garner sympathy as they grew their medical marijuana business. The couple secured the sheriff's department in their town's approval back in 1999 to grow marijuana for themselves and other patients. They said that their small garden never had more than 44 plants in any given year. They were raided back in 2001 and were eventually convicted in 2007 for conspiring to grow at least 100 plants over several years. The five-year sentence is mandatory for that charge. Fry and Schaefer went as far as sending a request for clemency directly to President Obama. They never heard back, so they began their five-year sentences yesterday. The defense, along with hundreds of supporters, stated the couple were acting within California's medical marijuana laws. Schaefer, the 56-year-old attorney, and his 54-year-old wife are both patients themselves. Fry said that their actions were just 10 years ahead of their time and doubts that they would have gotten into so much trouble had their case started in 2009 instead of 1999. California's 1996 law to allow medical marijuana in the state, Prop 215, has never had a real good relationship with the highest office in the land. President Bill Clinton's administration won a U.S. Supreme Court ruling to shut down an Oakland medical marijuana dispensary, and they tried unsuccessfully to revoke the federal prescription licenses of doctors who recommended the drug to their patients. Then, during the Bush administration, efforts were stepped up by conducting raids in California and other states that allowed medical marijuana in the early 2000s. The raids included nonprofits like Fry and Schaefer's Patient Garden. The current administration came out early and declared that a new policy of deferring to state laws was formalized with a memo and a new Justice Department guideline. But with the promise that raids of marijuana dispensaries and collectives would end, they've only increased in 2011, along with handfuls of letters to governors of medical marijuana states threatening them with the arrest of state workers for helping patients and collectives or dispensaries register, leading advocates to say that the Justice Department memo was little more than an empty promise to protect American citizens and not legally binding. In the case of Dr. Molly Fry and Attorney Dale Schaefer, their 5-year prison sentence is only part of their punishment. They had already had their licenses to practice medicine and law revoked, and they have spent an entire decade paying legal fees that has completely wiped them out with no way to earn a living while they waited for their outcome of their trial and appeals. And their very close-knit family of 5 children and 2 grandchildren are being torn apart for 5 long years. In a statement to the media, Dr. Fry said that cannabis is proven to be medicine, and then asked why the state of California would create laws based on what the people want and then allow the federal government to override them. She said she was never doing anything more than helping people.
Yeah, this is such a tragic story. And today at 1:30, I'm going to replay the last interview that I had with Dr. Fry and Dale Schaefer. It's about 20-minute interview that we did on March 21st as they were getting ready to report to federal prison. They've reported to federal prison last night. They spent the night last night, their first night of the next 5 years in a federal prison, separated from one another. They've been together for so long, and now they'll be separated for 5 years. But I think you'll find in this interview something to give you hope, something that will make you just marvel at these two people and how wonderful and compassionate they are. And it will just leave you infuriated that our government would feel the need to lock these people in a cage as if they were some sort of danger to the community or some sort of danger to society or others, when in fact they were providing medical relief to very sick and disabled individuals in what they thought was accordance with California law. And if anyone out there still thinks that Mr. Obama is some sort of friend to medical marijuana, I hope you're starting to get the message that that is just not the case. From coast to coast, we have literally coast to coast, Washington to Rhode Island, President Obama's U.S. attorneys are sending out these threatening letters to try to squash all attempts at providing safe, regulated access to cannabis for these sick people in these states that have brought it up. We've got raids in California, Washington, Nevada, Montana, Michigan. The IRS is targeting the largest and best run of these dispensaries like Harborside. Look, he's not a friend to medical marijuana. Now, he did have that time back in his campaign when he was talking about his mother and how she suffered from cancer, and supposedly he would have some sort of compassion for that. I'm going to play that for you right now. This is from the 2008
campaign. In those last painful months, she was more worried about paying her medical bills than getting well. I hear stories like hers every day. For 20 years, Washington's talked about healthcare reform and reformed nothing. I've got a plan to cut costs and cover everyone. But unless we stop the bickering and the lobbyists, we'll be in the same place 20 years from now. I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message because to fix healthcare, we have to fix Washington.
Right. Okay. So, of course, we know what happened in that whole healthcare debacle, and his ad there, you didn't see the video, but it promised a public option, promised universal coverage for people. Didn't get that either. But what would Sasha and Malia's grandmother, had she, they've been alive when she was alive, how would she have gotten her medical cannabis, right? From a well-run, safe, secure, adults-only facility that verifies medical cards and IDs, that gives you a gamut of strains, all these different preparations that you can choose from, that are inspected and tested and complying with state law and contributing sales taxes and payroll taxes and jobs and helping boost the economy. Is that where she'd get the marijuana, Mr. Obama? No, you'd be sending your grandma to Craigslist or some alt weekly or some activist meeting, hoping she can find some kind grower who won't rip her off, hoping he grows a strain that's right for her, and hoping that he can be reliable and consistent. She'll probably get some sort of offer like, hey, I'll provide you an ounce a month for $300, and then he's, selling the rest out on the market out there, and she has to take it because she doesn't really have any other choice, and she has to hope that she can get to this guy's house or find some way to get it, because God knows she doesn't want to give her address out to this total stranger who's growing her marijuana for her. And if she needs a tincture or an edible, well, I don't know if her grower's going to do that for her. She's going to have to figure it out her own. Is that what you'd want to put your mother through, Mr. Obama, when she's battling the nausea from her chemotherapy? Is that what you'd want your mother to be put through? Because that's what you're going to put the mothers through in Arizona, in Rhode Island, in Washington, in Montana, in all of these states. Now, I can understand that you said clear and unambiguous compliance with state law, and maybe Washington wasn't clear, wasn't unambiguous. Maybe California wasn't clear, wasn't unambiguous. But in states like Rhode Island and Arizona, where they're actually passing laws by the legislature that would make it clear and unambiguous as to how people are to provide marijuana on a large scale to the patient populations out there, you're threatening them too. So it's obvious you got no concern here with whether or not it's the patients using their medicine, and you've got no concern here as to whether there's clear and unambiguous compliance with state law, because we're trying to comply with state laws. We're writing the state laws that would be clear. It's clear to me you don't care about that. What you care about is stifling any sort of cannabis from getting started. That's right, you're stifling cannabis because you know if there's these well-run dispensaries and people see them in their neighborhoods and their neighborhoods improve like they did in Oaksterdam, and this money gets put into the community, and they have clothing drives, and they have food drives for the community, and they're found to be a good benefit, and all the things that you prophesied about how terrible it would be if there's legal marijuana don't come to pass, and then suddenly the people start thinking, gee, maybe we ought to raise more taxes, create more jobs, and turn all marijuana into these kind of things, not just for the sick people, but for the healthy people as well. It's clear to us in the community, Mr. Obama, that that's what you fear. These cannabis businesses providing an example to the community as to what legal marijuana could be like without any of the problems that you predicted. And worst of all, these cannabis businesses will form loyal communities. They'll build networks, and they'll contribute to PACs that will contribute to primaries, that will contribute to challengers that will support legalization of marijuana. That's what you're really scared of.
Democratic state lawmakers are seeking an opinion from Washington's Attorney General on the legal implications of proposed medical marijuana regulations. The lawmakers turned Tuesday to Republican Attorney General Rob McKenna after a veto last week from Governor Chris Gregoire. Gregoire says she couldn't support the key parts of the new medical marijuana comprehensive law because it might have left state employees vulnerable to federal prosecution. More than a dozen Democrats say in the letter that the veto has left the medical marijuana program into crisis. They want to know the likelihood that federal prosecutors would target state employees for regulating the industry. No state workers have been charged in states with medical marijuana laws, and legal experts say such a step would be extraordinary. We'll let you know what Republican Attorney General Rob McKenna says as soon as he responds.
Gee, I wonder what the answer could be. Do you suppose that he will say that marijuana is federally illegal and we can't do anything about it? Yeah, I think that's kind of the direction that's going to go. Look, you don't have to ask these guys for their opinions. Here's the simple opinion. Marijuana is illegal under federal law. There, opinion settled. The question is, are the states going to do something about it? Are the states going to push back? And are they going to find brave leadership that's willing to stand up for the most vulnerable of their citizens? Well, obviously not in Washington State.
And as we continue through Hemp History Week, we are reminded that the states of Hawaii, Kentucky, Maine, Maryland, Montana, North Dakota, Oregon, Vermont, and West Virginia all have passed measures that would legalize growing the industrial product in those states. But since possessing and cultivating hemp lies under the jurisdiction of the Drug Enforcement Administration, it requires a permit from them to grow yourself some field hemp. So far, the DEA isn't handing those out. It has long been suspected that pressures from the timber and petrochemical companies were behind the outlawing of industrial hemp, as the companies in the mid-1900s jockeyed to secure their sources of income. But if allowed, hemp is one of the easiest crops to grow because it can grow in infertile soils. Hemp has very long taproots and requires little water, making it the ideal crop in the country's irrigation-dependent Midwest. Since the plant spends so much time growing, it naturally absorbs CO2, and it is naturally resistant from frost, drought, and diseases, making it the most ideal crop to grow organically. Paper made from hemp is more renewable than regular paper because hemp grows faster and is more durable than tree fiber paper. It does not yellow over time and can be recycled more often than ordinary paper. Hemp is a natural weed suppressor due to the fast growth of the canopy, and because of its long tap roots, hemp replenishes soil with nutrients and nitrogen and helps control topsoil erosion. hemp produces the same amount of oxygen while it is growing than it would use in carbon dioxide if it was burned as fuel. It can produce 20 to 40% more oxygen than will be polluted from its paper product. Hemp was even planted in Chernobyl after their nuclear disaster to remove radioactive elements from the ground, a process that scientists are saying is happening at twice the rate that they predicted. Switching to hemp paper could reduce deforestation significantly. For every 4 acres of trees that are required annually to make paper, only an acre of hemp would be required. Furthermore, because hemp paper can be recycled so many times, up to 7 or 8 times, much less is needed. In comparison, paper from wood pulp can only be recycled around 3 times. This means even more trees are required. Hemp fibers from paper manufacturing is nearly 2,000 years old. Hemp rags were a young America's first attempt at curbside recycling. In colonial America, rag collectors would gather post-consumer rags made out of hemp that were put out by house workers. They would pick them up by horse-drawn carts for recycling in paper mills. If you want to understand the superiority of hemp versus wood pulp paper, you need only visit your library. Any books made with wood pulp, which began in 1870 here in the U.S., that are over 100 years old are almost dust and degrading at such a fast pace. Now you can look at the Bible that is hundreds of years old and printed on hemp paper. I think you'll see the difference is obvious.
Hey, Carrie, did you mention Oregon as one of the hemp states there?
It is. Let's be hemp farmers.
Yeah, let's see what Barry McCaffrey says.
So, by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, we have a ball.
All right. Hey, I'm 40. I live in Oregon.
Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Right back after this.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs, or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From a friend's closet grow room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
The official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains is available at hightimes.com and finer bookstores.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electronic music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and electronica, brought to you by Greg in Surrey, Sussex, England, and Cannabis Cure, UK. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Radical Russ here for Cannabis Cure UK, because he is somewhere out there, somewhere out there in the United States somewhere, and he will check in soon enough, I'm sure. But while he's out there enjoying his freedom in this great land, it's up to me to find a tune for Electric Tuesday. And so I went out to the Music Alley website, one of these great sites for pod-safe music, and oftentimes I will be looking for certain words like ganja or fire or, you know, high, and to try to find a song. This time I decided to look by genre, and I found a genre that was called cocktail pop. And when I heard that, cocktail pop, I got to thinking of like Richard Cheese and some of that, you know, orchestra type music, and thought maybe I'd find something there. And then I found this group, a project actually, called My Velcro. And it's spelled the Dan Quayle way. It's got an E on the end of it, My Velcro. And it's a creative project from an artist named Emily Blong. Not Bong, Blong. And I thought, well, Blong, Bong. Maybe there's something there. And so I started looking a little further, and then I found the song that we're going to play today is called Drug Therapy. And I thought, well, there we go. Her name's Blong, Drug Therapy, I Love Velcro. There we go. It's going to work. So today's tune begins with some piano, and it might not seem kind of right for an Electric Tuesday when you hear the piano, but it builds on that, and you're going to get more layers on top of Emily's voice, and it gets kind of this foreboding electronic feel. So I think you'll really dig it, and you can find out more about Emily's music and her other artistic endeavors at My Velcro Blog, and remember, Velcro with an E on the end of it, myvelcroblog.blogspot.com. This is Emily Blong with My Velcro and Drug Therapy.
And my
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Want to legalize marijuana? Prove it. Join Normal today at NORML.org, and your donation will help us spread the growing truth about cannabis. Free speech ain't free, you know.
Free the ganja tree, it's the healing of the nation. Free the Cali weed, good for meditation. Free the pot smokers, they're in a delight. Lighting up the chalice, they keep no malice.
The healing marijuana.
All right, welcome back, everyone. 31 after the hour, and we so need to free the marijuana, and most importantly, we need to free the marijuana prisoners. And this next part of the show, we are going to replay an interview for you that we did on March 21st with Dr. Molly Fry and Dale Schaefer. They had just gotten out of court to learn that their latest appeal would not work and that they had to report to federal prison, which they did yesterday. So they are now in prison. They've spent their first night in prison and will be doing so for the next 5 years, unfortunately. Convicted on charges relating to their cultivation and distribution of medical marijuana to seriously sick and disabled people, according to California law, since 1996. And it's unfortunate these people have been caught up in this. But as you listen to the interview, listen to the hope and listen to the forward thinking and the truly Christ-like values espoused by these two people, if I may use that term. It's just amazing, and I hope you got to hear it the first time, and if you didn't, well, you're in for something amazing. This is Molly Fry and Dale Schaefer from our March 21st show.
The effects of marijuana prohibition are felt by all Americans in every walk of life, regardless of race, creed, color, religion, social status, wealth, gender, sexual orientation, or even one's use or non-use of marijuana. As the marijuana smokers lobby, Normal hears the stories of these average Americans and brings them to the attention of our policymakers and our fellow citizens in this segment we call Normal Newsmakers.
All right, we welcome back, everyone. We're joined on the phone right now by Dale Schaefer, an attorney in California. Dale, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
I understand you just got back from court, and of course we're talking about your case, you and Dr. Molly Fry. And
yeah, my wife Molly. I think she's on the phone too, right, Molly?
Hi.
Yes, hello.
Oh, hello, Dr. Fry. Glad to have you here. And we've had you on the show before to tell your story, but give people the thumbnail sketch of what you were doing in California and how you ended up in this predicament with the law.
Okay. My wife got cancer, breast cancer. She had to use marijuana to help alleviate the nausea from chemo.
Doctor recommended.
A doctor recommended. I started growing marijuana for her. The cops showed up, told us everybody they were doing was great, wanted us to write notes for people that they were legitimate. We started doing that. I grew a couple of plants in the backyard for some sick people. We tried to give it to them for free, and the DEA came after us, the federal government did, and the local sheriff got involved in gathering evidence against us. We were charged with manufacturing marijuana, which means growing it, and conspiracy to manufacture and distribute it. We were tried, convicted, charged. I mean, we were sentenced to 5 years in prison, and today's hearing was to give us the date we have to surrender to begin serving our 5 years in federal prison.
But the 5 years in federal prison was determined on the basis that there's a somewhere a statute that says you if you grow more
100
than 100
plants.
If you Gail, I'm getting there. If you grow more than 100 plants, you then become a big wheel and therefore need to be punished severely. Well, what no one told anybody, my sheriffs, my attorneys, anybody who talked to me, was that they were counting the plants sequentially over several years. It took them 3 years before we got to 106 plants. They then added those years together because the statute is 5 years long and said, ha, you're a kingpin.
Wow.
When in fact, we never grew more than 100 plants. We never grew more than 40.
Yeah, so really, if it's, you're talking about a five-year statute, if you grew 20 plants each year, there you go. You're
you
a kingpin.
You'd be in trouble. Yeah.
Wow. That's
exactly. We recommend everybody grow 19, no more than 19 a year.
Yeah.
That's what our county guidelines, we tell them in our county guidelines now, don't grow more than 19 a year, especially if the police are coming out to look at your garden.
Yeah.
Because the feds can get you.
So this is...
And they even count dead plants. We had 27 dead plants, which is the 27 plants that threw us over the limit between, you know, something in the 80s to 106. And they were dead, but because they still were laying there and they had roots and a stem and leaves, dead as they might have been, they counted as plants.
Wow. This is unbelievable. We're speaking with Dr. Molly Fry and Dale Schaefer, a couple who are growing medical marijuana for themselves, helping other people trapped in this federal court, this web here, sentenced to 5 years. And so what was the result of your court date today?
We're going to prison on May 2nd for 5 years at the taxpayer's expense, and it's absolute crap, but what can we say?
This is
we are both very sick, and we're going to have to go to medical facilities to be cared for in prison hospitals because we're, you know, we have to have medication all the time.
Sure. And, of course, not medical marijuana.
Oh, no. We haven't been able to use medical marijuana since we were arrested in June of 2005.
Yeah, my husband takes over $2,000 a month worth of drugs right now, narcotics, rather than the small amount of marijuana I used to feed him every day. When they took his marijuana away, they had to put him onto $2,000 a month of narcotics just to keep his pain away.
Yeah, and of course, when you're in the trial and when you're in the sentencing and all of these hearings, there is no such thing as medical marijuana. You're just...
Oh, absolutely not. We couldn't call our patients patients. They were clients, and we were portrayed as major West Coast drug dealers. It was just outrageous. We couldn't use the word medical with marijuana, even though we snuck it in and here and there. And
I wasn't allowed to be a doctor prescribing medicine. I was a doctor who was scamming the system and signing notes.
Yeah, they portrayed
even
it all
so
as a scam.
I examined every patient and had notes to prove I'd examined every patient, had medical histories and documentation from other doctors on every patient. They wouldn't let any of that in to defend it.
Yeah, and of course, this happening all in the context of a state that that is perfectly fine with what you're doing. The people, the voters there have approved it, and if it weren't for the feds butting in on this situation, you would be treating yourself with cannabis and probably living a wonderful life here. But now you're facing five years in a prison with people who have really hurt people, and this is just wrong.
Well, it's hypocrisy is what it is. California passed medical marijuana statute in 1996, Prop 215, which authorized all of this. In 2004, the governor signed a legislation called SB 420, which clarified this, allowed collective cooperative grows. We were one of the premier physicians in the state writing these notes, and the federal government and the Eastern District of California got a hair up their butt that they wanted to take us out, and that's exactly what they did. They took a doctor and a lawyer down, and we're going to prison for 5 years because we dared to help sick people with marijuana.
And the point was, it was the perfect storm. Dale decided to become political because no one was listening to us, so he ran for district attorney. I became what I was, a professional who could then speak to an area of medicine with a degree of, knowledge.
Credence.
And so I started testifying for the medical marijuana patients. All the juries were going out and being back 15 minutes later and saying, the doctor says it's safe. What the hell are you bringing him into jail for, or, court for? And so, they got, my husband was a political threat. I was a court threat, which they hate to lose in court, and we were advertising openly. We were not hiding anything. We were telling people it was their right. It was a plant. God made the plant, and they should heal themselves. And we were supporting them in taking control of their own medicine, which threatened the pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah.
And you get that many big, strong, powerful people threatened, and you eat shit.
Yeah, apparently so. And Dr. Fry, both you and Dale are, you know, professionals, right? You're licensed professionals. You got your law
absolutely
license. You got your doctor's license, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I have a law license. Yeah, we were licensed professionals.
And we were trying to help. And we did things like we had 6 points of identification for the cops on the piece of paper we gave people. It had signatures that were notarized, and it had, you know, all the signature of the person, the thumbprint of the person. We did everything we could to help the cops identify legitimate patients. But none of that mattered. It just mattered that we were a thorn in their side. And, you know, now going forward from this, I'm in the process of building a website called freedocfry.com, and I'm hoping, I've got a letter to the president there that will also go to the attorney general, and I'm hoping that I'm going to write a prison blog while I'm in prison, and my husband is too, and we're also asking for donations in exchange for t-shirts, Doc Fry t-shirts, but we're just trying really hard to keep this family together during the 5 years that we're gone, and to hopefully shorten that term. I mean, a year is one thing. 5 years is something really bad.
Yeah.
We have 5 children, 2 grandchildren with another grandchild on the way, due in October. And so the federal government's onslaught here has basically bankrupted us, but we have to provide for these children. And we, you know, we're going to be gone for 5 years. What are mm-hmm. we supposed to do? We've got kids that have to be taken care of here, and the government really doesn't seem to care about that.
Yeah,
5 years ago, my 3 children were all college bound, and now I can't even afford to send them to community college.
Yeah, this is the government that tells us we need to keep marijuana illegal, and we can't have medical marijuana because what about the children? Oh my gosh, what about the children?
Oh
well, here's
God,
children.
Yeah.
Here's children not able to go to college because you want to lock their parents and grandparents up. It's insane.
It's more than insane. It's more than insane. There is no way you can look at this without wanting to vomit because, you know, cannabis has never killed anybody. It's non-toxic, but you can pull the alcohol you want and get sick and stupid.
And die.
And pharmaceuticals, every one of them is a poison that can kill you. Cannabis is a medicine that's non-toxic, not a poison. You can't die from it. And we were trying to get people legal and treat them. And this plant's been used for 5,000 years for medical purposes. And it's within the last 100 years that our government decided we're going to castigate this stuff and make it bad, even though it's not bad. Every study they do proves that it's good.
Speaking to studies, because I'm the doctor, is what happened in 1990, it was actually an error on the part of the Bush government, but they were trying to stop cannabis research, and they let them find the cannabis DNA. And so you no longer had to have a cannabis plant anywhere in your lab or anywhere from hundreds of miles. All you needed was the DNA. And from 1990 on until now, cannabis has been extensively studied because of the DNA. And we now have discovered that it is one of the most effective anti-inflammatories, equal or better than Motrin and other anti-inflammatories available, yet non-toxic. Mm-hmm. It is also a great pain reliever. It shrinks brain tumors in non-malignant cases. It's involved in muscle contractions of the stomach and heals all sorts of stomach ailments from ulcerative colitis to a number of other colitises that, you know, people are sensitive about, but the point is cannabis works for them, and it's like Galileo. I'm Galileo, and I'm saying the sun is in the center of the universe, or the solar system. That's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And the Washington is the church, and it's stupid with a blindfold around its eyes and a hand over its ears, and it's like, no, 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 no. It's the earth in the center of everything.
Yeah.
And they're wrong, and there's 20 years of research to
yep.
prove that they are wrong, and yet I'm Galileo and I'm going to prison for their stupidity. It's in the dark ages.
Yeah, it's a travesty, and I want to make sure we can get you as much support as possible. So this website, freedocfry.com, is it just F-R-Y?
Yeah, it's just F-R-Y, and it's Doc, D-O-C. And the reason why I use Doc as an acronym instead of doctor is because marijuana is non-toxic. The only reason why I say 2 pills every 4 hours is because more than that is a toxic level over time. There's no doctor involved in whether you use marijuana. It is a personal choice because it's a non-toxic thing.
Yeah.
It's like I say to you, do you like lettuce? And you go, oh, lettuce is great. So eat some. You know, and if you don't like lettuce, don't.
Yeah.
What can I say?
Right, right. So
it's freedocfry.com, and like I said, I hope to have a prison blog going. I'm looking for people who have those computer skills because I don't. I need someone to scan my blog. It's going to try to come out every week, and then I also, you know, I've got the website set up, and I'm going to be marketing T-shirts, and I've got leftover T-shirts from when I was in business, and those will go first for donations, and then after that, my granddaughter's made a picture, and I'm hoping it'll be kind of a secret club among us and those in the know that, you know, it looks like a regular T-shirt, but it's really free.com.fry.com, and we're going to get her out because you send a letter to the president.
Dr. Fry?
Like Free Mandela.
Yeah, Dr. Fry, I think I just got you someone to do that for you. I just got you a computer savvy guy
awesome.
On our chat room. Doc Herbalist is offering his services. I've got his personal number. If you'll stay on the line after our interview, you know what? I'll probably just have to email it to you because we have to go on our second hour. But I'll email you his contact information and we'll get you some help on setting up
that
blog.
Thank you, Dr. Herbalist.
Yeah, Dr. Herbalist will help out. And that's one of the things we do here at our show is that we're all about crowdsourcing and trying to, you know, get the information out on these trials and on these travesties that are happening, but also to rally together.
Well, you've got to realize in Egypt what has happened.
Exactly.
Something wild has happened. There's a social network and it's controlled by us, the people. And only 1 out of every 3 people vote. But if we can get all those silent majorities to voice out on the social internet, we can take back the world to kind and true humans who have care and love and felt alienated and out of it. This is a moment, a chance, an opportunity for all of us to be free.
I agree. I think this is it's happening because the internet is a truly free place, a free exchange of ideas.
The only one that still exists.
Yeah. And this is, you know, you can't keep people, you know, once they know there's other free people out there, you can't keep them from wanting freedom.
That's
this is happening.
Right. And it's accessible to young people, and it's accessible to all ideas, and it's accessible to choice. And we've just got to get this free marketplace of ideas going. And I think that that's what can bring me out of prison in less than 5 years, is a free exchange of truth.
One of the things I learned in college, and this came from J. Edgar Hoover, that if over 10% of your population is violating a prohibition, you can't enforce the prohibition. Well, trust me, more than 10% of the population smoking pot, and they can't enforce this prohibition.
Yeah, on an annual basis,
it scares the hell out of them.
On an annual basis, it's around 11 to 12%. And so absolutely.
They can't enforce the prohibition. California is like a wildfire out here. Once we got started, there are dispensaries everywhere. People growing marijuana everywhere. These people think the government can't stop this, even if they wanted to right now.
And the thing is, the drive is so much beyond just, oh, let's have a drink or whatever. These are sick people. I mean, I was driven under, while I was still receiving chemo, while I was recovering from chemo, I was driven to find people who were equally suffering, that I could give a note to protect them from the law, that while they were dying, while they were suffering, while they were disabled, they did not deserve to be threatened by the law and financially taxed by judicial system. It was wrong. And even though I was sick, I went out and found these people and started this, what has now become a very common business of medical marijuana. But I started it for the humanity of it. Mm-hmm. And I started it because I, too, was a patient. And the results, you know, have been phenomenal.
Yes.
People have marijuana when they need it. And you can argue pluses and minuses, but sick people are not denied. And praise God.
Except for us.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so I go to prison for 5 years. But how many thousands of people in California have I freed?
Yeah, absolutely. We're speaking with Dr. Molly Fry and Dale Schaefer, who are facing, like you heard, 5 years in prison. What is the date that you have to report?
May 2nd at 2 p.m. We have to surrender to the federal marshals for 5 years in prison.
May 2nd. Okay. So up until that time...
And there's still probation.
And then, of course, still probation after that. I guess the only thing you have left here is to ask for a presidential pardon, I would think.
That's probably it.
That's
yeah.
why there's a letter on my freedocfry.com. There's a letter to President Obama, and that's the whole idea. He might not listen to 10, he might not listen to 100, but maybe hundreds of thousands of people all agree that we want to free Doc Fry and her husband, because these people genuinely were trying to help humanity
yeah.
get better, and not we're in it for the money. We never made a dime off marijuana. We're professionals. We made money off being doctors and lawyers.
And lawyers, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And the only reason why Dale ever gave medicine to anyone was because they were going to die before they could get it from somewhere else.
Yeah.
And it was completely something that the police had told us. Go ahead. If you have extra, give it to people who are dying. And, you know, we can't prove it because we weren't smart enough to tape the recordings when the police were in our house telling us, go ahead, it's no problem, don't worry about it, you know?
Yeah. Well, people will be now, that's for sure. They'll learn from this. They'll learn from, you know, all the pioneers.
They don't trust the cops, they lie.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
I can tell you that as an attorney. it's called Test to Lie. Do not trust the cops. They set us up, and everything that we told them, they testified against us in trial about.
Yeah, they turned it around and used it, and it was like the sheriff was testifying, and our attorney asked, so those hours you spent on the phone with Mr. Schaefer talking about politics and baseball and the basketball games and all that personal stuff and political stuff, and when Mr. Schaefer said, you know, I'm one of the good guys, and I'm not trying to cause trouble, and we're trying to prevent the illegal sales of marijuana and stop the illegal market and do the medical market and blah, blah, blah. He goes, all those hours you spent on the phone, those were a lie? And he goes, oh, yes, you'd have to say they were a lie. I was undercover. And he says, so even though you're represented to be Mr. Schaefer's best friend to talk to him about the legal way to implement California's law, that was all a lie? And he said, totally. And the judge edited it and didn't. It wasn't considered entrapment.
Mm. You know, our listeners out here, I'm watching the chat room right now, and they're all just up in arms about this, and they're just horrified
Good.
By all of it. And they want to be able to support you, and I've told them about the website, freedocfry.com.
But I've got to get it up. It's in progress.
Okay, and so they
I haven't managed to make it yet.
Okay, well,
I'm ignorant.
They also want to be able to send donations and well wishes to you. Do you guys have, like, a post office box or someplace that can send snail
yeah.
mail?
We do, yes. It's P.O. Box 634 in Cool, COOL, California, 95614.
We really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
I was trying to send my kids to school. And
we can't even hardly feed them now. They have literally bankrupted us. We cannot practice law in medicine until we finish our sentences here. And I have five children, and two grandchildren were on the way, and we were trying to do the American thing, send our kids to college and get them educated like we were educated, because they can't take that away from you, and the government gutted that. We have to start over again. When we get out of prison, we have to start fresh again in our early 60s. I'm 57 years old. I have to start over again when I get out to build my life again.
Man,
I have nothing left. They took it all.
P.O. Box 634, Cool, California, 95614. We'll get this posted up on our blog. And as we round out the hour, as we round out the hour, Dr. Fry and Dale Schaefer, there is a book about your trials and tribulations, and I've unfortunately forgotten the title off the top of my head, and I know it had Cool in it.
Cool Madness.
Cool
yes.
Madness, cool that's
madness.
It.
And it's available. Just do Google Cool Madness, and you'll find how to purchase it. A third of the profits from the book do go to this house to help support the house. I want everyone to know that you might get the impression that we're bitter, but that's just because we came from the court and it's a stressful moment in our life.
Yes, yes.
But the truth is that I can't speak for my husband, but I can speak from my heart. And I am here to serve and to help people. That's why I wanted to be a doctor. And I did the best to serve and to help them in the California law. And if part of that is to go to prison, you know what? There are people there who I can serve and help.
Wow.
And there are people in prison who will benefit from my love.
Yeah. And I'm going to get to teach people. I have a doctorate degree, so does Molly. We get to teach people in prison, GED required. Maybe even some college classes. I'm going to try to be a lawyer for people and do writs of habeas corpus, things like that. Where Molly's going has a PhD program in psychology. She can help with that. We're going to be useful in prison. 750,000 people a year continue to get arrested for marijuana crimes, primarily possession. We're going to try to help those people, too.
Thank you so much, Dr. Molly Fry and Dale Schaefer. I'm sorry I've got to round out the hour.
That was our interview with Dr. Molly Fry and Dale Schaefer from March 21st, 2011. And, of course, yesterday they had to report for that 5 years in prison. It's a travesty. It is just, you know, as wrong can be when you speak to those people and you know how sincere they are and how much they were helping the sick and disabled people. And, you know, it's going to be tough for me. In fact, I'm pretty much sure that Mr. Obama has lost my vote for 2012. I'll tell you that. And it's sad for me, too, because I was one of those guys. You know, I was a supporter. I went to the Democratic convention. I even did a speech for Mr. Obama at a fundraiser here in Portland, Oregon. But I've become convinced now that he is no friend to my issue, no friend to medical marijuana. And there's one thing he could do, though. One thing he could do to get my vote back would be to pardon Dr. Fry and Dale Schaefer, to issue a presidential pardon to get these people out of prison. They've suffered enough. As you heard from the interview there, lost everything, gone bankrupt, got 5 kids, 2 grandkids on the way, can't practice law, can't practice medicine. Their means of earning a living has been taken from them. They've had to go through the courts and have their names all over the media and enough, you know. What's the point in putting them in a cage for another 5 years? What they've suffered through right now is enough. Is that the Free Doc Fry?
Yeah, redirection of this.
Okay, I will get that up here. We wanted to point out that Free Doc Fry website, and Kalika was just looking that up for us.
Yeah, it redirects you to another website. It also has their Twitter on there and YouTube videos as well.
We've got a freedocfry.wordpress.com that comes up, and then there's a Free Doc Fry Twitter feed, Free Doc Fry, but I don't think I'm finding the one that you found, but still, you know, give them your support, check out what they're doing, find the book Cool Madness online. You can find that book and learn all about their case. When you read that book, it's just so twisted. When you start to find out how our police and judicial system works and how the courts work and some of the things that they talk about happening, it's just amazing. It's mind-boggling that we call this justice. But when you're living in a society that feels it's necessary to lock people up for their use of a plant, once you buy into that premise, everything you do from that point on in service of that premise makes internal consistent sense, right? I mean, if you really believe marijuana is a terribly dangerous drug that leads to heroin, cocaine, methamphetamine, and the end of Western civilization, then of course you would do anything to stop it. Of course you would lock people up for trying to use it, trying to spread it to medical purposes there. You wouldn't want anything to cause this terribly noxious weed to be promoted in society or accepted any more than it already has. I mean, imagine if you're a prohibitionist, you must feel like the walls are closing in on you right now. 2-1, the American people support medical marijuana, and on the coast, it's 3-1. So the people who don't believe medical marijuana, who believe it's Cheech and Chong medicine, like Barry McCaffrey once said, they are clearly in the minority now. And as their generation ages and dies, and the younger generations that have grown up with legal medical marijuana now in 15 states, we've got kids in California now turning 16 who've had medical marijuana all of their lives. Kids in university in California and Oregon and Washington for whom medical marijuana began when they were in grammar school.
they understand this, and it's only going to become more liberalized, more accepted in society. It's not a question of if we legalize, it's a question of when. And we hope to make that much sooner rather than later. Thanks for listening. I'm Radical Russ for Calico the Intern and Cannabis Carrie. Take care of each other, tokers. See you tomorrow.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Dang it all one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.